This is The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is part three of a series that we have been listening to, a coffee and tea event, a live event here at Clayton Bradley Academy, in which we were talking with our related arts teachers. Today's podcast features Dr. A, is how he's known here on campus, and he is our upper school Spanish teacher, and he'll be talking about how Spanish is done at the high school level and how he integrates different areas of our model into his instruction. So we hope you enjoy the podcast with Dr. A.
So next up we have Dr. A, who's going to talk about Spanish.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. So yeah, my name is Jaume, but that's a pretty challenging name for a lot of people, students, parents, everyone. So I think Dr. A simplifies things a lot and everybody's able to remember that. Talking about first days of not wanting to do something in front of everybody. Well, Spanish is one of the ones that is like, yeah, no. So I'm always trying to incorporate things that could be fun. Games are going to be super important for us. We're going to do one later, hopefully. Well, you're going to crush it because you already speak Spanish. So maybe you might not, but you might be the referee. We'll see. We'll think about it. But I'm always trying to do something that involves group work, and it's not like you do this now, right? Talk in the table. You can you know, just low so I don't hear it. That's okay. You can share later if you want, but at least talk in the table the first few days. But it gets loud as they get really confident, and typically that is soonish, okay? So I wanted to start with why we, you know, what does research say about learning not only Spanish as second language overall. The first thing, and I'm going to do this quick so I can show you projects and things that we've done in class and we have time to play a little. Research says that if you are learning a second language, no matter when, maybe as a kid, maybe later in life, you can develop a more powerful memory. And there's this analogy with going to the gym. Yeah, you have a routine and you are activating different skills. You're activating in class listening, because I speak a lot of Spanish since day one, which again, it can be challenging, which maybe at the beginning, you find a little bit of resistance. It's like, can you just tell me what you're talking about? It's like, yes, I am in Spanish. And then little by little, you're gonna tell me what you understand from that. And I write things down a lot because by seeing it, you can recognize more things. A lot of the words are very similar to English. It's like, wait, I escribí it. Okay, I know that one, right? So it always helps. So you're activating different parts, listening and reading, and then trying to produce, trying to say something, and trying to talk to somebody else. That all contributes to recall and to being able to remember more as you build up your vocab and you go over grammar structures and things like that. Also, researchers have found that it can actually help you in your own language, in English in this case, for most of you, right? It helps because you see a lot of connections and you sit down and you see grammar rules. It's like, that's why I say this in English. Now I get it. So you unlock things that you didn't even think about before. And you, again, see a lot of connections with other languages and you start thinking about synonyms more. It's like, okay, so what I was saying earlier, right? You have a word that looks really similar to another English word that you don't use that much. And now you've made that connection. So it's helping you with your own vocab and with your own grammar structures, which sort of debunks the idea of learning a second language confuses children, right? That's been proved that it's not the case. It's not the case. At home, I have a two-year-old. I only speak Spanish to him. My wife only speaks English to him. And he understands fully both of us. And he's starting to do this thing where if he wants to give me one of his toys, and now he knows a little bit, he knows a few colors. Well, sort of, because yellow is hoyo for him, but doesn't matter. He grabs the ball, and if he talks to me, he doesn't say he wouldn't say yellow ball, right? He says ball yellow. He's thinking in Spanish in that moment because we switched the adjective, right? So it's really cool to see that. And it's improving, yeah, as well, our way of communicating with him and for him to communicate with us. In class, we do a lot of culture. That is one of the concepts in my concept board, culture. We're going to see a few projects how I do grammar through culture. Always have a context, but also develops empathy. You can also make connections. You've learned about a group of people from somewhere in Latin America, and you see a connection with a group of people somewhere here. And that develops empathy and an awareness, cultural awareness, not only about learning about something new, but also cultural awareness here. Something that I found really interesting, apparently if you are bilingual or really fluent in another language, it can delay some of the diseases that come with age, like Alzheimer's, dementia, all that things, apparently, because you're activating your brain so much, they say that this happens. And then the last thing, opening global opportunities. I always tell students, if you go to college, you have a minor or a major in Spanish. When you go out and try to find a job, there you look good. If in your CV says, you know, I have a major, I have a minor, I have this level of Spanish because I took this test, that is a great thing to have. And again, could be Spanish, could be Chinese, could be French, could be another language. Just show that, right? These are some of the projects that I've done in class for middle school and also for high school. We are all about being there and project-based learning. How can I do that here? We cannot travel all the time, right? We cannot be doing this overseas trip every single weekend, but we have Google Earth. So one of the first things that we do, first, second week of class, I ask them with instructions. We're gonna do a 3-day weekend, long weekend in my hometown. So I present myself, I said, I'm from here. But instead of showing them just pictures in a Google Slides presentation, nobody really would pay attention to, they are the ones that take initiative and they are the ones that do the research and they are the ones that start deciding, oh, this looks cool, I'm gonna add it to my trip. This one, I pass, I don't like museums, I'm not gonna go to that one, right? But they do a lot of cool things. I have a link to this, I don't know if it's gonna work, but this is just how it looks like. On day 3, for example, she starts the day in this market, which is the oldest one in Europe. I'm not sure how to, okay, thank you, perfect. Okay, could you click that box to the right? Okay, there we go. So, there should have another box where you can see the content. Yep. And if you click here, can I do that from here?
Mm-mm.
No. So just the arrow down here, you can see, okay, yeah, it's starting to pop up over there. That's, for example, they have to choose restaurants where they have breakfast and lunch and dinner and show us the area a little bit. So drop the little yellow man in the streets and show us the streets, right? And then she decided to go to the aquarium, and from there she decided to go to different places. So they're learning a lot about my hometown, but also how different or similar it could be to their hometown. So there's a reflection at the end, what I said, what did you find that is completely different, and what did you find that is really similar to your hometown? So it's not just here, do the research. It's also a little bit of thinking and making connections. I said that like 4 times already, but that's very important for us, making connections, right? Okay. You don't have to show the whole thing if you go back. Another project that we're doing about being there, about investigating, about culture, food, gastronomy, it's another of our words. And probably the favorite thing for most of the students is this, okay? This is one project that we're doing right now in eighth grade that I did last semester with eighth grade as well. We're creating a restaurant, so we have different groups. They are investigating this country. They have to come up. They have to create a restaurant from scratch. They need a name. They need a local address. If they're talking about the Dominican Republic, they need a local address somewhere in the Dominican Republic. So they need to find information about what is a touristy area? Where would my restaurant be successful? They need a local restaurant. They need social media handles. One group, which you can see over here, went ahead and created a fake Instagram account with fake comments and a ton of likes that nobody pressed like, okay? But they showed a lot of pictures. They also created with AI how the restaurant will look inside. They went, you know, above and beyond. But this is what it should look like. Three items for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Optional, dessert. Optional, two will be drinks, okay, if they want more points. And I always tell them, this later you are going to choose what restaurant you will go to, which one is the best one. So I said, if you want to try and bribe everybody, bring one of the items. And they did, and it was a lot of fun. So they always like to bring food and to share and to talk about this kind of stuff. Another thing that they had to do to make it authentic was to put the prices in the local currency. Because again, the restaurant is in Colombia or the Dominican Republic. It's not going to be in dollars. But they had to do slash dollars, so we understand what you're talking about. Talking about food, a field study we did this year, quarter one, I think it was in September. We went to the Cutting Edge classroom and they made an empanada workshop. Señora Searle, who is from Chile, organized the whole thing. Chile empanadas are very important in Chile. Not so much in Spain, but I love them anyway, so we went there. And they made empanadas, which later they applied in my class for a bake sale that we had, which also, again, thank you for the arroz con leche, for leading the workshop. We made arroz con leche with them. And the group that went to the field study prepare empanadas in class. They apply that knowledge, and they really loved it. As I said earlier, we do a lot of grammar through culture. I like to put things in context. Otherwise, just the rules by themselves are more challenging to understand. But I talked about this during PD one time. This happens really close to my hometown. I don't get it. I don't know why this is so important. But it is a tomato fight, as you can see. It takes 1 hour, and people travel from all over the world to this tiny little town where there's nothing to do. Just for this, okay? And they throw tomatoes at each other for an hour, and then they go back to Australia or wherever they came from. So that is something that we talk about. And I tell them, imagine that you're right there right now. So we're learning, I am swimming in tomato juice, right? Or I'm throwing, or I am doing something. So we put that grammar, I am doing something, into context, right? Another project, this is a template that I created for slides. So I made it look like a Netflix show. This is not a real Netflix show. This is a project that they did. And one of the students decided to do the project on Frida Kahlo. I have all my life skills represented by a Spanish-speaking figure. In this case, Frida Kahlo is one of them. I have Pablo Picasso. I have athletes. I have singers. I have a lot of different people, a lot of variety for them to investigate. One more time, a text on Frida Kahlo? Okay, informative, but boring, right? A presentation like this, where they don't only have to do a little summary on what the documentary is about, they have the possibility of being creative. One student, Rowan, by the way, did, because you talked about him already, he did a presentation on Pablo Picasso being an alien because he was so good at his thing. So he put a question mark, was Pablo Picasso an alien? So he talked about his whole life and then did this conspiracy theory in it as well, right? And we use this to talk about the past tense. He was an alien or was he human? Things like that, right? And he was born here. He used to do this kind of thing. Same thing with Frida. This one was more realistic. The woman behind the canvas, that's the title that they came up with. Again, this is not real. And then I think the most fun part about this, they had to film their own trailer. So they had to do episodes, just like in a regular Netflix show. You open it and you have episode one and a summary, episode two and a summary with a frame, with a picture. They had to do that. And then a trailer. And that was really fun, and they were really creative with that as well. But again, using the past tense. We're learning about the past tense that way. And then suggestions that Netflix, at the end, it always gives you suggestions for other shows that you might like. Well, they have to go around the class, see what everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And those were their suggestions. You could watch these other episodes on Pau Gasol and basketball. I don't know. So they had to collaborate and see what everybody else did. In reviewing through games, we have a quiz, which I don't do a lot, but sometimes we need those to be able to do a project like that and use all that properly. So these are some of the things that I use sometimes at the end of class. Sometimes it takes the entire class if it's a Wednesday, for example, because it's shorter. But for example, this is a TV show from Spain and I adapted it. What you have to do is, well, you go from A to Z, you hear a definition, and then you need to say the answer. It's usually the last part of the show, and it's one against one, but here we do two big teams. The class divides in half. So for example, say the color of, let's make it simple, color del plátano, the color of a banana, so they need to know amarillo, so yellow, right? And we go and so forth. If they don't know it, they say pasa palabra, which means I'm skipping it. Yeah, I'll go back to that later. So that's a lot of fun. They really like it to review vocab. I do sometimes escape room, and I give them challenges to escape family gathering or to escape whatever it is. You need to conjugate these many verbs that are irregular in this tense, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And they get so into it, because if they're stuck, they cannot move forward. And you can see them thinking and like, okay, get your binder, we need to solve this. So they really like that. Another one, this is also an adaptation of Battleship. Yeah, so instead of numbers and letters, what you have is the person doing an action. So it could be yo, like I did, or he did, or we did, whatever it is. And then here, you can have to eat, or to speak, or to sleep, whatever it is, yeah? Did I say sleep twice? I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter. And they have to say, okay, so yo duermo, right? I sleep. And if somebody has yo duermo, somebody has a boat right there, then it's hit. And you have to sink all of the boats. They also really like this one. Obviously, Wordle, they love it. I don't do the actual Wordle because that's very difficult. It's difficult in English, so imagine in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I have a template just like this, basically, and we do it manually. We do it with colors in the board. And if they get it right, I circle it green. If they get it wrong, I circle it red. And then if they have the letter but not in the right place, I circle it orange or yellow. And then they start thinking and helping each other to decipher the word. And then they always want to do their own. And they come here. It's like, oh, I have one. Okay, look, 1 second. So everybody is thinking. And it's a good energizer, a good way to start. And the last one is one that I have done for years now, the first day of class. It's also, again, not really categories. Everybody knows that game that you have, for example, with the letter P, give me this many words in this category. I do it a little more broad because it's very difficult first day of class to say just letter P, all these words. Mm-hmm. So I do bigger categories. I do, for example, countries that speak Spanish. Yeah, and they start thinking. Or I say, okay, foods from the Hispanic world. And then the tables, they write down, that's why you have a board, because we're going to play now. Which, by the way, nobody was doodling, which is great. By now, typically, is full. So good self-control right there. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to think of a category in every table. You need to come up with the most words. We're going to do at the end is see who has the most. And that group is going to share. And then I always tell them, to get the point, it has to be a unique word. So if you have hola and you have hola, nobody gets a point. Yeah? And if you have the word, you have to say two words in Spanish, which is la tengo. La tengo means I have it, or we have it as well. Yeah? Make sense?
Thank you, Jaime. Now, we start Spanish in pre-K. Our pre-K students have 30 minutes once a week. Our rest of our lower school is an hour once a week. Our middle schoolers have it twice a week for a semester. And then at the high school level right now, our students do get to choose between Mandarin Chinese and Spanish. But I think Spanish is typically where most of our students navigate, because if they've been here, they've had it since pre-K. It's all about that immersion into it. So we want to thank you guys for coming and playing with us a little bit. Hopefully, you were able to get a glimpse into a classroom that you probably haven't seen, or maybe even meet a teacher you haven't had a chance to talk with, and just see that whether you're in Ms. Barham's or Ms. Whitecon's classrooms or one of these amazing classrooms, our vision and our research and everything that we do with our life skills and lifelong guidelines is at every corner of our campus here.
This has been The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can do so on our website, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.